Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You don't need to sorrow because those that have died, they're not floating. Their soul's not floating in some nebulous space.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We continue our extended look at Bible prophecy today as Pastor Herron shares with us key events of the rapture.
Let's talk about the rapture. This has fallen on hard times, actually, the rapture. There are many people today that would not believe in the rapture. How do we look at the rapture? How does that play into that? Does the Bible teach about the rapture? I think the Bible does talk about the rapture. I wish I had time to go through all of it. I don't. There's four reasons to believe the rapture will occur before the tribulation period. Number one, I think the Bible teaches out of Revelation 3:10, the Lord Himself promises to deliver us from tribulation. He did to the church at Philadelphia, which was a circulatory letter to all the seven churches, and he promised, I'm not going to let you go through the wrath to come. Number two, second reason is the church is absent in Revelation. We mentioned that, Revelation 4:18. You don't find the church anywhere in that period of the tribulation. Third reason is the church is not appointed to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. You don't end up finding Christ and the bride. Do you remember the picture? Christ and the bride. He's not going to take his bride and intentionally put the bride into that horrific tribulation. The fourth reason I think the rapture is before the tribulation is because the church is to be delivered from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Now, how do we look at the rapture? Where does that come from? I gave you three terms that you need to know when looking at end times. F-A-S. F stands for facts. What are the facts? And then that leads to letter A, which is the word for assumptions. When you take certain facts, they're going to lead you to an assumption. There's nothing wrong with certain assumptions. That's not necessarily a bad term. But if those assumptions lead you to a faulty conclusion, it's a problem. And then letter S stands for speculation. Remember, there are certain facts. The Bible deals with facts. And then there's an assumption. And now the assumption leads to speculations. I'll give you an illustration. Where in the Bible does it say a loud clap? And that's the key to know that everybody's gone. Is that what's going to happen? That's speculation. There are very clear facts about facts that lead to safe assumptions. And then there is some speculation, for sure. But how does that apply? What does the Bible have to say about the rapture? The term rapture is nowhere in the Bible. But there's a term that would give us what we get the term rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You have 15 very clear facts, key events of the rapture. Number one, and that is the Lord Himself will descend from His Father's house where He's preparing a place for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 16. And let's just read, maybe if we could, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, the Bible says, to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord, verse 16, Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, key word caught up, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He does go in chapter 5, expanding about the times and the seasons, brethren, you have need that I write unto you. And so he begins clarifying about the day of the Lord. So it comes as a thief in the night, okay? And then at that point, he walks through and gives more information. And so off of 1 Thessalonians 4 and two other passages, John 14 and 1 Corinthians 15, you will find what I think to be biblical facts about the rapture. So let's start right there. Number one, the Lord himself will descend from his Father's house where he's preparing a place for us. The Bible says in verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 4, because these people at Thessalonica had questions about it. And so he answered, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. John 14, verses 1 through 3 as well. That's the other text that Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll receive you unto myself. And the whole Jewish marriage is a picture of what's going to happen with Christ coming for his bride. He came the first time to identify himself with his church. Okay? Does it make sense to you? This was the first advent, the first time Christ came. And he now is offering you to become a part of his bride, the relationship. He said, I'm going to a place, just as in the Jewish marriage, when the first betrothal to that young maiden, normally 13, 14 years old, and I've mentioned this before as a church, as a quick review, and he would go to his father's house, and there in the insula, the courtyard, he would build another house, apart, like an apartment, onto the rest of this family compound. Many of you that are from Guam can relate to understand how this is. And at the point when the father says, you are now ready. The house is ready. Then he lets everybody know that the bridegroom is coming, and then he goes back through the town, and he gets the bride, and he brings the bride back, and for 7 days, he is there consummating that marriage. So there's so many parallels to this whole picture on a more global basis of what the Lord says here through the Apostle Paul's pen. Now listen, first one is fact, the Lord himself is going to descend from his Father's house. Number two, he will come again to receive us to himself. This is what he says in John 14, 1 and 3, he's going to come. Number three, along with that, he will resurrect those who have fallen asleep in him. They died in him. The deceased believers whom we will not precede. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. And he says, and let me start in verse 13 because I skipped this and I apologize. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Brethren, he's talking to Christians. I don't want you to not know. This is why he's saying this. This is why we're teaching this concerning them which are asleep. That's a euphemism for a nice way of saying they're dead. That you sorrow not. Listen, you don't need to sorrow because those that have died, they're not floating. Their soul's not floating in some nebulous space. He says, this is exactly what's going to happen. He says, you don't need to sorrow, even as others have no hope. We believe that Jesus died. He rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So it's an awesome fact to realize that people that have died, the Bible very clearly says, listen, those that have gone on before us and those deceased believers who will not then precede. Number four, the Lord will shout as he descends. The Bible says it's a loud command. And all this takes place in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 is the other simple reference point. When Paul said to the believers at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15, he says, behold, I'm showing you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, there's a trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, the Bible says there's a trump. Then there's discussion, and this is where it gets to speculation. Is that trump, everybody going to hear that trumpet? Or is it just the believers going to hear a trumpet, which I personally think is the call to those believers, those Jews that are saved, that's called to the right relationship that God wants the Jewish nation to have with him. So who's going to hear that? Is everybody going to hear that? Or just the believers going to hear that? And good men differ on that. And so, number four, the Lord will shout as he descends in 1 Corinthians 15, 52. The Bible also says, verse 53, 1 Corinthians 15, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We'll get to that in a minute. Number five, we will hear the voice of the archangel. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. He says, there's a voice of the archangel shall descend with heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And perhaps it is to lead Israel during that 7 years of the tribulation as he did in the Old Testament. Number six, we will also hear the trumpet call of God, as I just mentioned, the last trumpet for the church. Don't confuse this with the seventh trumpet of judgment upon the world during the tribulation, Revelation 11, 15. We're going to talk about that. And so it is debatable again about who's going to hear that trumpet, but there's going to be that sound. Number seven, the dead in Christ will rise first. The corruptible ashes of their dead bodies are made incorruptible, and they're joined together with their spirits, which Jesus brings with him. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. In some mysterious way, as I heard Dr. Phil Schuller years ago at a Bible conference at Bob Jones talk about an old buddy in the World War II that he was in, and guy got all shot up, and he preached this whole message about this guy, and he had an arm in the ocean, and he lost his leg in another place, and he got saved. And so someday, God, when he calls him, that leg's going to go... And I remember hearing that thinking, that is cool. I don't know how all that's going to happen, but we do know we're not going to have this kind of body. We're going to have a glorified body. But he says, listen, they're going to go first. And then you say, well, you know, are we going to see them all coming out of the graves? It doesn't say that, but it doesn't say it is and doesn't say it isn't. Who knows? People are going to watch this happen? But we do know that as number seven, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Number eight, then we who are alive and remain will be changed. We are made incorruptible by having our bodies made immortal. I read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, and also verse 53. There is going to be a glorified body that evidently is going to be recognizable. You're going to know who they are. There's much written about. Does this mean that, okay, you die at 15, or others die at 80, and people didn't know you, and you were 80, and they knew you when you were in your 20s, and they hadn't seen you for all these years? My cousin, well, I guess I saw her 3 or 4 years ago, previous to that, I hadn't seen them in years, literally 20 years. And they walked into my mother's funeral. I didn't even know who they were. They got talking instantly, no, that's Carrie and that's Roger. Well, my point is, let's suppose that Carrie died and I hadn't seen her. And now we're all in heaven or we're headed up towards heaven. And I think Carrie, last time I saw her when she was 11 and 12 years old, now she's almost 50. And I didn't know what she looked like at 50. Somehow we're going to have that ability to see and know who that is. It's a pretty awesome thought. We'll talk more about new heaven, new earth. But the fact is that number seven, the dead in Christ will rise first. Number eight, they who are alive and remain will be changed. And number nine, we do know 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 says, we will be caught up or raptured together. And as I mentioned, the term rapture is an English word. It's not in the scriptures, but the concept is very clear. And Paul was teaching this to people at Thessalonica because there is confusion. And he was clarifying all of this in an inspirational way. They're going to be caught up together in the clouds. Verse 10, we will be caught up in the clouds where dead and living believers will have a monumental reunion. Awesome.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.